Blog Talk Radio.
They're gonna kill the love of my life.
Daisy!
If I don't go back to what I was doing.
On February 24th.
Our line of work is quite brutal and quite ruthless.
How far would you go for love?
You steal truck, bring it to me. Then you make your money.
Is it dangerous?
Of course it's dangerous!
Nicholas Holt, Felicity Jones, with Ben Kingsley and Anthony Hopkins.
All this trouble, all this pain, but love.
Collide in theaters February 24th. Rated PG-13. May be inappropriate for children under 13.
Blog Talk Radio.
Empowerment. This is the Star and Crescent Report.
As always, we open up in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who is none other than Master Farad Muhammad, the Almighty, All-Wise, True and Living God, Allah, who has come to us this day and granted us a divine mercy and reminder in the personage of the last and most surely the greatest of the apostles, prophets, and messengers of God to ever live. We speak about none other than our leader, teacher, and guide for these final days of justice, judgment, the most holy and humble, Elijah Muhammad. And we greet all of our listening and viewing audiences with the greetings of peace, love, and paradise in the original language of Arabic, which means peace be unto you. We say to you all, in both their names of love, As-salamu alaykum. For those of you who may wish to participate in our discussion today, you're welcome to call in at 347-989-0855. That's 347-989-0855. Or you can hit us up with a message at Hiram1555@yahoo.com. That's Hiram1555@yahoo.com. As always, we'd like to thank you for giving us another hour of your day and another day of your time. We'd like to thank the thousands of you who listen live from around the globe and the thousands of you who will download us later from all of our affiliate sites, be it Hiram1555.tumblr.com, Twitter.com/Hiram1555, Facebook.com/Hiram1555, BlogTalkRadio.com/Hiram1555, and our main news blog, which is formerly TrumpetOfTruth.wordpress.com, and also formerly SalamJournal.com and SalamJournal.org, which is now the Hiram1555 blog at Hiram1555.com. Again, my beloved family, I'd like to say unto you all, with love, As-salamu alaykum, and welcome to another edition of those powerful Shofar Truths anywhere on the face of planet Earth. This is the Star and Crescent Report. Now, as I was going through the intro, I was reading some news, same thing. People say, well, how can you read and go through intros at the same time? I don't know. It's just natural to me. I was reading a lot of different news, catching up on a lot of stuff because I've been slammed. For the last week or two, I've really been slammed. And I know that this series was going to be a two-part series, but because of the show and the response that it has gotten, especially since the last show, there was a demand for a third part in this series. So we're opening up with this show, White World Under Pressure Part 3. This all ends in war. We're in a time, brothers and sisters, I don't think some of you get the depths of what we're talking about when we tell you about the geopolitical aspects, when we talk about the economic aspects, the spiritual aspects of what is going on in America and around the world. And some of you don't get it because you just don't like the vehicle from which this it is coming through, not from, but through, because it didn't emanate from me. It came from the Lord of the worlds, and it was espoused by his last messenger, and all I'm doing is saying exactly what the last messenger of God said. You don't like the package, that's cool. I can understand that, and I can get with that, but ultimately and eventually, you will be held accountable for your choice. We're in a time, brothers and sisters, that at any moment, at any time, that this thing can really go south quickly. They are warning you of these things. Do you not see the military build up? Do you not see the switching and the changing of alliances militarily and politically and geopolitically? Do you not see the rising prices in America and around the world and the debt burden that they're under? What about the rattling of the people that are screaming for justice and screaming for something new or something more? Do you not see the growing desperation of the people here in America and around the globe? The great color divide, the great wealth divide, all of the signs that you see on Earth and in space, these were predicted in prophecy. You can go read your Bible. It was verified through the Holy Quran, and Messenger Muhammad went in depth about what we should expect when we start seeing these signs unfold. And we tell it to you boldly because we want you to get a great understanding so that you can prepare yourself for what is now happening and what is to come. Know for a surety, and this is not religion, this is fact, these people, this world, these governments, this system cannot extricate themselves from what is coming upon them. They are continually telling you these things. You know, you won't get the entire truth from them, but they'll drop some truth out there, and they'll skew it a little bit with lies and with deception and with their point of view. But we get to the root of the thing because we want you to understand that all of these things that you see, whether it happens in America or around the world, are all being done for your benefit. They're all being done. I was reading in the Bible, I think it was last night or the night before last, a verification of what Messenger Elijah Muhammad taught us when he said that God loved us so much that he was willing to kill off nations for us, that he would turn the world upside down, and he would cause the governments to be confused, and he would destroy their wealth and their power, and the greatest of the nations would be brought to his knees in poverty, desperation, and disillusionment. I'm reading this in the Bible, and I'm saying, And now I'm looking around the world, and I'm seeing the wars, and the more rumors of wars, the drumbeat for more wars, and even the drumbeat for thermonuclear war. And I'm looking at what's going on in the monetary scene, the financial market, and how they're talking about the bond bubble, and how the bond market is about to crash, how the manipulation of the currencies and the manipulation of the gold and silver market is leading to currency wars. And they're telling you that all currency wars, all major economic wars, end in military wars. And yet you have your head in the sand, thinking that you'll be able to go get your nails done in 7 years. You'll be able to go get you a do, a fresh cut, get you some nice Jordans. This is how preoccupied you are with foolishness. And this is how they have robbed you of right thinking in the process in your brain for right thinking. Brothers and sisters, I'm telling you, this is a time unlike any time before, and you better quickly wake up, because the world that you have known and that you know now, in a few days, you will soon know no more. We're going to revisit a few things, because this is the part where we talk about the geopolitics, so that you can get an understanding of when we were talking about the religion and when we were talking about the economics, that it all connects to the geopolitics. All right? So, before I go, and I want to revisit a few things to lead up to this so that we do it the right way, like we did on the last show. We're going to go back and we're going to hear a few things economically. Okay? And when you start seeing these things, I want you to remember all that we've said before. And then I want you to look at the geopolitical landscape. I want you to look at the political landscape. Do you not see America chest thumping with her military buildup? She says the other day that Russia is provocative. Russia is aggressive because it is demonstrating its military power within its own borders. But in her own eyes, she is not provocative. She is not aggressive as she deploys troops, tanks, weaponry, and warplanes on Russia's border in former Soviet territory. That's not provocative. That's not flexing your muscle. That's not aggressiveness. Think about if Russia had her military on the Mexican-U.S. border or the Canadian-U.S. border and deploying more troops and nuclear-tipped cruise missiles and a ballistic missile shield. America would go ballistic. They almost went to thermonuclear war in the Cuban crisis because Russia had nuclear missiles 93 miles away on the island of Cuba. But America has missiles 22 miles from the Russian border. Do you not see this? And this is not done in a void. This Messenger Muhammad said that as America falls, she would become more desperate. She would provoke the nations to war, and she must do certain things to try to keep the nations pumped. She need the world to think that she is still the most powerful nation. Else, if she doesn't, they would rise up immediately and challenge her dominance and her power. So she must continue to chest beat, so that the nations would be cowed by her aggressive acts, that she is willing to go to war with even Russia if Russia is aggressive. She would go to war with even China, because China is trying to assert itself and overthrow the international order of things. She is ready to go to war with Iran. Iran was the object. We told you that when they went into Libya. object when they went into Somalia. Iran is the object as they went into, as they've gone into Yemen. Iran was the object when they went into Syria. It was to weaken Iran so that they can take Iran. I keep telling you, the messenger said that there will be a regional conflagration in the Middle East, and this will lead to the dominoes falling in American power and dominance. You see how, when he talks about all of these things, the religion part, he also mentions the economic part, how these wars would drain her coffers, and it would expose her more and more to be belligerent and hegemonic in thought, mind, and process and policies. Do you not see how she's being exposed? If Syria never happened, the world would never have known the reemergence of Russia. Do you understand these things? Each domino will expose America's weakness one by one, and that she loses out in the Middle East and North African area. She will assert herself in Asia, and this is when she will be greatly exposed by that yellow man of Asia, the China man. Brothers and sisters, what you're looking at when you pick up the papers, when you go on the internet, when you read the news, it's prophecy being made known to you. It is being made manifest to you. You are just too, your brain is too cloudy right now, and it's not processing the information right because you have static there, because you have tuned into the wrong station, the station of Yaqub, where you cannot clearly pick up the right signal. You can hear it from time to time, but you must move the dial a little bit away from that, so that you can clearly pick up the signals that this is a time for war and a time for the fall of America. So, leading up to these things, we're going to go revisit Mr. Gregory Mannarino, okay? And as we finish this thing out, we're going to go into the geopolitical aspects, and you'll see it as we talk about the economics, and then it'll manifest itself in the geopolitics of things. And you, through it all, you'll see prophecy unfold, okay? So we're going to revisit a clip by Mr. Mannarino, and we hope that you pay close attention to these things. This is the four-minute clip, and it's two-minute clip, excuse me, and then we'll go to the four-minute clip. Pay close attention.
Big problem. Now, what about the stock market? I know you follow this every day, and there are people out there saying that, listen, the market is way overvalued, and it's going to be coming down. I think Harry Dent is out there saying that the market's going to drop between 50 and 70%. Charles Nenner is saying in the third quarter of this year, he believes that the market's going to start to come down. What do you see with the market? Do you feel like it's going to continually, you know, go up, 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 up? Or do you think it's something, there's going to be a correction?
Well, of course, there's going to be a correction. I've been very bullish on the market since Trump was elected. I've been capitalizing on that as well. I mean, that's what I do. I personally don't care really which way the stock market goes. I'm just looking for indicators to tell me how to place my cash in this market to work. Is the market going to face another moment of a crash? Without any doubt, absolutely yes. Could we lose 50% of this market or more? Absolutely yes. Is it going to happen? Absolutely yes. When? I have no idea. I really don't anymore. And I just, because again, this stock market has been hyperinflated on the back of this debt bubble, which seems to be unstoppable at this present time. So it's nearly impossible to say, and I need to speculate on it anymore, because again, it's gotten way, way, way more than anyone else could have imagined. I think actually. So we just play the game. We just play the game, realizing that it is going to happen, and we know this for a fact because it always happens. The market runs up, 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 comes down, up, 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 comes down. And this is the action, I mean, and you know this, of central banks that deliberately inflate and deflate these bubbles. This is a cycle that has been in effect since the inception of world markets, and it will not ever stop. But I think the key here is to learn how we all can make it. If we understand that the market does run this way, and we understand that it's manipulated that way, we can all make it work for us. There's no doubt about it. So we just look for opportunity. And the biggest one of them all, again, I'm going to go up on my fallback for a million years, is to become your own central bank and understand that the debt isn't a bubble. And at one point, again, this is going to correct. And nobody can say it's going to be this month or that month. At least.
So they're telling you for a certainty that we are looking at an economic meltdown. This is unavoidable. They know it for a certainty. It's a mathematical certainty. There's an impossibility for America and those who have fornicated with the great whore to escape the ramifications of their filth and evil and corrupt deeds economically. And while I'm talking to you, brothers and sisters, I'd like to say this to you right now in the middle of all of this. I haven't said it at the beginning of the show, but the show has been under attack since right before we've gone on the air. So if you do not hear me for a minute or so, please do not hang up. Do not click off if you're listening via the Internet. Just hold on. We have to go through this, and I have to tell you this all the time because you know what we go through to try to get this truth out, okay? Now, they are telling you that there's no way of escape. How do they know this? First of all, they understand Scripture. Second of all, they understand prophecy. Third of all, they have crunched the numbers. And they're always going back to math. And what did Elijah Muhammad tell us? That Islam is mathematics. And mathematics is Islam. Why? Because the two are equal truths and can be proven at no limit of time, right? So what they're doing, they're going back over and over again, crunching the numbers, looking at every mathematical possibility to see if there's an out, if there's any possibility of a doubt. And all of their mathematical results come back that she cannot escape what is coming on her. She cannot escape these things. Why? There was a time when she may have been able to postpone it due to the fact that we were in and we're still in this lull here. But Scripture demands now that she start suffering from her economic malfeasance, greed, and ineptitude, and her mistreatment of you and I. This is why the white world is under pressure. And America thinks that her military buildup will prevent the fall or will stave off the fall because this is what she's going through. This is what she's going through, her bread and butter. This should show you that their world and the people of their world are war makers and blood shedders for the sake of shedding blood and for the profit. They profit off of these things. They don't care about the people that they send to war. As long as Lockheed Martin and all of these war machines, war makers, get profits. Is that, do you see why God has to remove these people, why he has to remove their system, why he has to remove the corporations and their monetary markets? Because it is intrinsically based upon greed, disregard for human life, a lust for materialism at all costs, and a disregard for the natural law and the natural order of God. So God goes against them. He uses their corruption, their greed, and their ineptitude to ensnare them and set them up for the fall. As I always say to you, and I have to smile as I say it to you, because time is bringing about these things, and it is becoming crystal clear, it is a very beautiful time to be a follower of the most honorable Elijah Muhammad. We're going to go into another clip because I have to refresh your memories, and I know time passes so quickly. We got about two or three more of these economic clips, and then we're going to tie it into the geopolitical aspects of things. So be patient with your brother. You've given the devil all this time. Give your little brother a little time, but you're okay. All praise is due to Allah for the most honorable Elijah Muhammad. This is a four-minute clip. Please pay attention to this. As Mr. Gregory Manorino says, there's no way out for them. In certain terms, he's saying they're trapped. There's no way out, and they know it. Listen to him. Those are not his exact words, but that's his exact meaning of what's going on for them, okay? Pay close attention.
I don't know where to place my cash to make it grow.
Now Trump, he ran on the campaign that the economy wasn't doing well. He was going to bring back manufacturing back. People didn't have work. We were losing jobs. And he understood that, you know, people were having problems out there, even though the unemployment was at 4.7%. Now, the question is, now he's in office, does he realize that the economy is worse off than it really is? Because he is the master of bankruptcy. I mean, he knows what to do. He knows how to handle a business that is losing money, that can't sustain itself. And he's in a position where the country is in a bad position, can't sustain himself. Do you think that he says, you think he's going to go, oh, you know what? We need to bring this thing down. We need to start over. Do you think he's thinking that at all?
I think if he could do that, he would do that. If you're referring to like some type of a debt holiday or something, is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, like, I mean, he can cancel the debt. He can maybe take over the Fed and you know, dictate to them what he wants done, almost like what Putin has done to their central bank, his central bank.
The issue, it's interesting that you're talking about this, because I was in a long conversation with Gorbachev about this just like 2 days ago. The problem is, when people say, oh, let's have a debt forgiveness, let's have a debt this, what they don't realize is the currency itself is a unit of debt. So if we were to say we're gonna forgive 50% of the debt, we're gonna forgive that, the currency would hyperinflate within seconds, and that would be it. Period. Again, it's the nature of the beast. It's a debt-based model. You can't forgive the debt. You can't do anything with the debt other than continue to inflate it. There's no other way to make this work, and Trump knows this very well. Again, he, I think, has a clear understanding of how the system.
I stopped this for a minute. Remember on the last show, and we're going to I want you to hear this again. Remember, Dave kept asking and kept saying, well, we think they're going to take the system down. Trump will restart the system. The elite will try to restart the system. The Fed will try to restart the system. The ECB will try to restart the system. And I keep telling you that by saying that, they're taking the power out of the hands of the God who is doing all of these things. They don't want to recognize or accept or acknowledge that it is God who is in control of these things, and that it is God's will that there be a change in rulership, a change in system, a change in thought. They don't want to recognize that, so they'll put it and say the elite, the Fed, Trump will change and bring down the system. But Mr. Gregory Manarino let the cat out of the bag, black man and black woman. Listen to what he says. They can't do it. See, this is out of their control. This man works in the market. He understands it, and he says it as much. Pay close attention to what he says about a forgiveness of the debt. You know, that's what Dave kept saying, right? Well, they'll try to start all over by the forgiveness of debt with each other. Do you actually, first of all, if they forgave the debt, all the nations would have to agree to this. That means that everybody would take losses and haircuts, and then the poor man would be on the same footing with them. And they would not have an advantage over the poor man and woman who has been in the mud and muck of civilization. This is against their nature. They cannot allow you to be on an equal playing field, an equal footing with them, to start from scratch. Because look at the progress that you've made in the last few decades, and you have been behind the eight ball, and you've made so much progress. And even in slavery, you've invented all of these inventions. They look at your mind, they look at the time, and they recognize that if we give them an equal footing, if we forgive everybody's debt and they forgive everybody's debt and we start anew, it puts them behind the eight ball. Because their creative mind has been taken from them. Listen closely to what Mr. Gregory Manarino says, black man and black woman. Pay close attention to how he answers this.
I want to know where to place my cash to make it grow.
Now, Trump, he ran on the campaign that the economy wasn't doing well. He was going to bring back manufacturing back. People didn't have work. We were losing jobs. And he understood that, you know, people were having problems out there, even though the unemployment was at 4.7%. Now, the question is, now he's in office, does he realize that the economy is worse off than it really is? Because he is the master of bankruptcy. I mean, he knows what to do. He knows how to handle a business that is losing money, that can't sustain itself. And he's in a position where the country is in a bad position, can't sustain himself. Do you think that he says, you think he's going to go, oh, you know what? We need to bring this thing down. We need to start over. Do you think he's thinking that at all?
I think if he could do that, he would do that. If you're referring to like some type of a debt holiday or something, is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, like, I mean, he can cancel the debt. He can maybe take over the Fed and you know, dictate to them what he wants done, almost like what Putin has done to their central bank, his central bank.
The issue, it's interesting that you're talking about this, because I was in a long conversation with Greg Hunter about this just like 2 days ago. The problem is, when people say, oh, let's have a debt forgiveness, let's have a debt this, what they don't realize is the currency itself is a unit of debt. So if we were to say we're gonna forgive 50% of the debt, we're gonna forgive that, the currency would hyperinflate within seconds, and that would be it. Period. Again, it's the nature of the beast. It's a debt-based model. You can't forgive the debt. You can't do anything with the debt other than continue to inflate it. There's no other way to make this work, and Trump knows this very well. Again, he, I think, has a clear understanding of how the system works. It's very unfortunate that we do not have a wealth-based system anymore that is a commodity backed or a gold standard, that we have a system backed by nothing, that we have a runaway, that we all the developed nations around the world have are married to, with no way to get out of it, a central bank that has control of the system. That means they control every single aspect of our lives. That's really the truth. This is the core issue with this debt-based system. We are now, unfortunately, slaves to it. So the central banks have us by the you-know-what, because they know we can't forgive the debt. They know there's no way to write it down. It just can't happen. If they did, the currency goes poof, and that's it. We go back to the Stone Age overnight. We end up in the Road Warrior. And they know that. So I don't know what he's going to do with regard to that. I think he understands that it is going to hit a critical mass, that there is going to be a point where everyone is running for the door at the same time to get away from holding these unbacked liabilities known as debt, or even the currency, which is also, again, a unit of debt. And it's going to be very, very, very ugly when that occurs. I believe personally that there will be another major war. We've been on the threshold of it for a long time. Are we going to end up in another war to keep all of this propped up longer? The central banks will make sure of it, one way or the other. Look, the one who controls the cash controls the world, and that's who's really running the show. We have to put that into perspective as well. Look, I back Trump, no doubt about it. And I'd like to believe that he is in control as the leader of the free world, but this is just simply not the case. The central banks are still controlling everything.
On the one hand, he admits that if they think about this, I want you to, on this show, what we do, we analyze what these people are saying, and then we do a reasonable analysis of what they're saying and what they have said, and we come to an educated conclusion. First, he says this: there's no way that they can forgive the debt, because the unit of money that is issued is debt-based. This is out of their control. And then in the end he says, well, they're still in control of everything. You just admitted that they were not in control, right? Do you hear these people? I hear very well, and I listen very well, you know. So what we're looking at is the confusion, the derision that God has smitten them with, and the desperation that is coming from them. On the one hand, they'll admit the truth, but on the other hand, they deny God at the same time, right? Well, this is out of their hands. Well, if it's out of their hands, then whose hands is it in? It has to be a higher power if it's out of their hands, right? If you see a of the hands of the most powerful people of the white man's world, then you must acknowledge that the Supreme One is in control. Is that not correct? Huh? Y'all talk back to your little brother, 347-989-0855. I mean, we have to look at what they say. I mean, listen to what they say and lay it out and examine their words. And you'll see that the devil always throws you those curveballs. He can't throw you a straight one because he's scared you're going to knock it out the park. So he has to throw you a curveball or a knuckleball. This is how he plays the game. At the end of his world, he sees nothing but collapse and devastation. And you know what he says? The same thing that Gerald Celente says, the same thing that Peter Schiff says, the same thing that Jim Rogers says, the same thing that Mark Faber says, the same thing that Naomi Prim says. All of these financial pundits and scholars who have made hundreds of millions and billions of dollars, you know what they say? This all ends in war. Well, if we're talking about war, how did we get to the point of war? Economic intransigence. Right? Imperial hubris, fascism, racism, right? Greed and corruption. This is the core, this is the root of the system, and it must be uprooted and burned and left neither root nor branch. Okay? Mr. Manarino says it all ends in war. I want you to listen to this next clip. I think this may be one of the last two clips that we are going to play with Mr. Manarino at this moment because I see the time winding down. I'm going to probably try to let you listen again to this clip where he talks about it ends in war. Then we'll go to the next clip, okay? See, the reason when I'm reading something to you, you'll hear me read a paragraph over. You'll hear me read a sentence over, and I'll emphasize certain things up in there. And then you'll hear me play a clip, and I'll stop it, and then I'll play it again. I'm trying to get you to hear so that you can see what's going on, what is truly being said to you, what is truly happening right before your eyes. I'm not just doing this to get on your nerves. I'm doing this so that you can understand the time and what is going on in the time, and that you can understand the root meaning, as we say often, as we talk about the Bible, when it says, get knowledge, get wisdom. You hear how the devil, you see this? Do you not see how the devil interrupts us? You see this?
Blue cash everyday
card. Is that not right? Do you see this on our show? I have no idea where this is coming from, brother. Brothers and sisters, I have no idea where this is coming from. Do you hear that live on the air? They're playing commercials on my show. You see that? But he has to do this. He has to interrupt this. He has to make the show irrelevant. Let me say this, and we're going to go back to that clip. If you listen to a lot of the lectures of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and you pay close attention, in the background you'll hear other people talking. You'll hear sometimes when he was giving radio statements, lectures and stuff, you would hear them go to another, you would hear people talking from another show, or you would hear people doing something in the background. They did the messenger of God like that. Of course they're going to do this show, which represents the teachings of that messenger of God like that. But I'm glad that you're here to witness this live. I want you to pay close attention to what Mr. Manarino says about this, because he talks about economics. Then he transitioned and said, I truly believe that there will be another major war. Well, this major war starts in the Middle East. Do you not see the buildup over there? There's no drawdown up in there. You remember when they said that Putin was taking his ships away? It's still 16 warships over there from Russia. They still have dozens of warplanes over there. Just yesterday, according to some military reports, Russia just deployed, I think, was it 50 missiles? Some was the Iskanders. Oh, and America and Europe fears the Iskander missile. They have nothing to deal with that missile. It's so fast. The missile is so fast that before your radars can lock on it, it has already hit and is pinpointed object of destruction. And it goes at supersonic speed. And they cannot down these missiles. From what I was told, about 50 of those missiles, or the like of those missiles, were just delivered to the Syrian Arab Army about a day or two ago. This is what it was sold, okay? So, and then we look at this. Trump was supposed to draw down. He's not drawing down. He's talking about going in there. And nobody else says anything. They say, well, Trump, we're going to go into Syria. First of all, how in the world can you, if you are the media, see these things and not say something? This is a country going into another country, breaking its sovereignty, going in there to fight people that you have armed, trained, and given political cover. Do you see how this has to end in war? This cannot go on. This is what America and Europe does. They destabilize your nations. They go and get their agents who can be bought and paid for with a little currency. They train them. They give them an ideology. They put them in the midst of the Muslims. Causes an uproar and war. They arm them, give them political cover, and let them go on a rampage and scream Allahu Akbar. And then you hear the Western media, Islamic fascism, Islamic terrorism, when all the while they're not fighting with Islamic weapons, they're fighting with M16s. They're fighting with the American tank weapons, anti-tank weapons. They have MRAPs from America. Do you understand? The deceit, this is how the devil works. How did he come to power? How did he start trouble in heaven? Remember, the devil was kicked out of heaven. Remember, say, when he kicked out? Because he started making war in heaven, right? He started to divide the people. He would go and lie to one, then go and lie to the other one. He would throw the rock and hide his hand, and he would step in as the peacemaker. And once you agreed to his terms, he became the ruler over you. It's just not the tactic that he's using in Asia. It's just not the tactic that he's using in North Africa and the Middle East. It's just not the tactic in the Caribs, the South, and the Central parts of America, the continents. He's even using it now in Europe, because his world is under pressure, and he knows that eventually this all ends in war. And Mr. Manarino has said as much. Listen again.
The central banks are still controlling everything.
So when you say war, like, you're saying with Russia or Iran or China, like, what do you see coming?
I think that before the central banks would allow anything to interfere with their action, they will find a way to get us. It's the central banks, they're going to do it. And they'll finance both sides of the wars like they always do. They will bring us to war. That is what they're going to do at one particular point. And again, that's another cycle that people just aren't used to. Although we have been at war for a constant war for decades here in the United States, does anybody have any doubt as to why we're in a constant state of war? Again, what generates more debt than any other endeavor in history? It's war. War is a very expensive endeavor. So that's the reason why we have been in a constant state of war since forever, why it will never stop, why the world central banks will make sure that it never stops, why the world central banks will make sure that if they need to escalate it to continue to inflate the debt, they will do that as well. There's no doubt. This is a very evil system. That, again, we need to all remember, it's a debt-based model that demands that debt be borrowed into existence in perpetuity, and it can never, ever stop until it does.
So, Mr. Gregory Manarino says, has anybody ever wondered why we have always been at war? And why we continually are at war? Because war is a profit-making thing. They don't care about the live shit. Remember, I read something to you all on the show one time from Dorothy Fordan and her and some of her scholarly friends. They were pondering over why. Now, these are white people, white scholars, pondering on when they looked into the history, they pinpointed when they first saw white people come on the scene on the earth. And they said it was roughly 6,000 years ago, which was in line with what Elijah Muhammad said, 6,000 years ago. And they said from the day that they set foot, and we have a recorded record of them, they have been materialistic. They have been trying to dominate, divide, and they have been bloodshedders in that war. These are white scientists saying this. But when we say it, you call it racism. Huh? Mr. Mannarino just bore witness to these things about nothing but war. And they were prophets. Dr. Fardin says that it shocked them when I was holding the conversation that just to the depths of how greedy the people are, Caucasians. And she tried to put this thing in a perspective and say maybe it's due to the lack of melanin in their skin. And I say it's due to the very nature, which goes to the core of their existence. Because, you understand, it is a simple mathematic equation, but we try to make it difficult. And you know, in math, sometimes when you go to higher math and you miss, you don't really get the answer to a problem, they always refer you back to basic math. I don't care how high you go up in math. They always refer you back to the basic, the general principles and steps of math, right? I know. This is what they do. And we know that if God created the earth and he created the heavens out of nothingness and there was a great void of nothingness and he pulled himself out of triple darkness and brought forth light, then of course he is that and the part of that which he brought himself out of. He is black. And we know that black is not in essence a color. Black is the origination of all colors. As we said, get your little paint or oil and let it be a pool of water down there. That black can of oil and sprinkle some in the water. And you'll see the entire spectrum of colors come out of that blackness. You can't do that with the blue. You can't do that with brown. You can't do that with any other color but black. All of the colors come out of the black. Black didn't come out of the other colors. And since God originated himself with the most powerful color, right, because he's the most powerful God, and the essence of that God is right, then that color had to be right with him too, right? And so if by nature he is black and by nature he is righteous, then the antithesis, according to basic math, is that the opposite of black is what? The opposite of righteousness is what? If the opposite of black, which is the originator's color and the original color and the original nature of that color is righteousness, then the opposite of that black is white, and the nature of that white is what? Talk back to your brother, 347-989-0855. That's basic math, basic science. But you try to make it harder than what it is because you've fallen head over heels in love with this mad sociopathic people. But, as they say, we're headed for war. So you see, America is becoming more and more desperate. Listen to what John Kerry had to say about why they had to accept this deal over in the Middle East. But it was only to entice Iran, see? Because this war has to get started. And if you go to some of the messenger's lectures, he talks about this very scenario, this situation. And he says Allah would draw them over there and cause a war. And it would kill off a lot of people. I mean, a lot of people, brothers. So this is going to be bloodshed and plenty of it. There's going to be major destruction. And this is done as he's wiping off the disbelievers and hypocrites of that area. He's what they call purifying the land. He's weakening the devil and destroying those who reject truth at the same time. This is being done for you. Muhammad says that all of this is being done for you due to the fact that most people in the world adhere to evil. Two-thirds or close to that of the population of the planet Earth is going to be destroyed, going to be taken out of here. cleansing and cleaning process of the natural order of things. You know, this is what we call the natural virus protector. You know, you have one for your computer that when you get hit by viruses, multiple viruses, if you have a good virus protector, it cleans and cleanses the computer's program so that it does not shut down and the computer can operate as it was originally intended to do, right? This is what is going on. The natural way, the natural order, the natural antivirus program is sifting through Yaqub's world and uprooting it and clearing the debris so that the natural system can operate as it was intended to do properly. This is a time that America, Europe, and the Western world hates because this is the end in the unraveling of their domination. And Mr. Kerry said America was forced to do this. Listen, good. Because Europe would have abandoned her. But it's coming in now. And he said that the dollar would have lost this position. So they were forced to take this deal until they can, listen to me good, until they can ramp up something to against Iran so that they can justify leaving the deal. I was reading something about a plan by one of the think tanks. I'm not sure if it was the Trilateral Commission or something like that, but they had a plan decades ago to offer Iran a deal and then afterwards make Iran look like it was ungrateful for the deal and then put her in an evil light and then go to war with Iran. And that's and the deal was similar to the exact deal that was signed by what they call the P5+1, okay? Kerry was telling you that the dollar, the supremacy of the dollar was at stake. So you see how the economic is tied to the geopolitical arena or the military win. This must take place because the empire, the pillar of the Western world, must be weakened and she must crumble. Listen to what, before he left office, before Mr. Kerry left office, this is what he had to say about the deal that took place with Iran.
Are you kidding me? The United States is going to start sanctioning our allies and their banks and their businesses because we walked away from a deal and we're going to force them to do what we want them to do even though they agreed to the deal we came to? Are you kidding? That is a recipe, quickly, my friends, for them to walk away from Ukraine, where they are already very dicey and ready to say, well, we've done our bit. They were ready, in many cases, to say, well, we're the ones paying the price for your sanctions. It was Obama who went out and actually put together a sanctions regime that had an impact. I went to China. We persuaded China, don't buy more oil. We persuaded India and other countries to step back. Can you imagine trying to sanction them after persuading them to put in place sanctions to bring Iran to the negotiating table? And when they have not only come to the table, but they made a deal, we turn around and nix the deal and then tell them you're going to have to obey our rules on the sanctions anyway. That is a recipe very quickly, my friends, business people here, for the American dollar to cease to be the reserve currency of the world, which is already bubbling out there.
Yeah, which is already crumbling as we speak. He had a moment of reflection, and he says he bears witness to what Elijah Muhammad was saying about the decline and fall of the dollar. And so they were desperate, they were forced to, because behind closed doors, Europe, their allies, were saying, look, man, we're paying the economic price. We've been under your thumb for the longest. Remember, Elijah Muhammad says that in that day, they would all go away from her. So America had to yield to the pressure. She's used to putting the pressure on everybody else. But she had to yield to the pressure because they were saying, if you initiate these sanctions and do not sign this deal, we've got to extricate ourselves from dollar domination and we've got to go east. This is the only way possible. All right? Mr. Kerry had that moment of reflection. And he says, my dear, this is a recipe for what? Destruction. Because it would have destroyed the dollar, which means it would have destroyed the fabric of American empire and power, which means, in turn, it would collapse the entire architect said that he put Iran on notice. But you notice the notice that he put Iran on happened just hours after Iran announced, I'm talking about publicly, not behind closed doors, that Iran announced that they will de-dollarize the entire Iranian economy. And they would start trading in local currencies with nations instead of using the dollar. It wasn't 24 hours later, Trump's national security advisor puts Iran on notice. And then Fox News and CNN and all of the others start vilifying and demonizing Iran. And you can see it in Yahoo News and all Reuters and all of these. They start a campaign of slander because the empire is on its last legs. So I want you to listen to this. Oh, we have 4 minutes left. You cannot hang your phones up. Pay close attention to this. I'm going to need at least 15 more minutes. If you're going to give it to me, because you need to hear these things, do not answer your phone. If you're alive on the computer, do not click on any other tab. Stay with us. You will not regret it. And pay close attention to this. We've got to go back to this clip here, okay? So pay close. This is a 6 minute and 47 second clip. And we'll address it after. Pay close attention.
Bombshell news. The Central Bank of Iran is announcing that they will be dumping the U.S. dollar in all foreign exchange. If they proceed with this act, it will hit a major blow to the U.S. as yet another country engaging in trade without the reserve currency. They wouldn't be the first country to suggest using a different currency other than the U.S. dollar. Iraq and Libya also had this idea, though their fate seemed to quickly take a turn for the worse immediately afterward. Coincidence? You came here for the truth, so let me unveil that for you. Let's get into this news today about Iran suggesting they will dump the U.S. dollar. Let's get right into it. Iran to dump the U.S. dollar in response to Trump's travel ban. I do believe that this isn't exactly true, but the announcement comes right after. They have already been sort of trying to wean themselves off of the U.S. dollar, more so than a country like China, which is definitely more heavily invested in the U.S., but we have seen Iran over the last few years anyway start to do trade with other countries not using the U.S. dollar, but things are still priced in that. So it's important to note that when you decide to go away from the reserve currency, obviously reserve currency is being very important, then you decide to basically hit a big blow on that country. Tehran plans to ditch the use of the American currency in financial reporting after the U.S. President Donald Trump issued a travel ban on 7 countries, including Iran. According to Press TV, the Central Bank of Iran is seeking to replace the dollar with a new common foreign currency or use a basket of currencies in all official financial and foreign exchange reports. So they are suggesting using perhaps as it's, you know, there's been talk anyway, maybe we're going to use the euro or maybe it's going to be a basket of currencies. And you could have, obviously, the euro being part of that basket. And they're just suggesting going their own way. They don't want to deal with the U.S. dollar. And at some point, they need to pull the trigger. This will take effect March 21st. That's the new year over there. So they're suggesting going ahead as planned on that day. We'll see if it actually happens. But it is very, very important. After Trump's election, the Iranian rial saw a record lows against the U.S. dollar. On December 27th, it plunged to its all-time low of 41,000 to the dollar. All right, important to note here. The head of the central bank said the U.S. did not have a significant role in Iranian trade and could be replaced with currencies of Iran's key partners like the European Union, China, and the United Arab Emirates. They've already at the bottom, it says here.
They've already have agreements with Russia, Turkey, Azerbaijan, and Iraq to use national currencies in the local trade. As I've said, they've already made many steps towards doing themselves away with the US dollar. It's important to note this because when you see countries exchanging into the reserve currency, that currency automatically becomes strong. It keeps that stronghold it has. And this has been going on, obviously, for decades and decades. The petrodollar is obviously very, very important. And whenever a country suggests going another route, it is, number one, ridiculed. It is, you know, pushed aside. But if it actually goes ahead and does it, begins making those proceedings to do so, to fully get away, then it's in big trouble. This happened, as I've said twice before. Look at this. Iraq nets handsome profits by dumping the dollar for the euro. Now, this right here is the Money GPS investigations that you don't get other places. You hear a lot of talk, you hear a lot of opinion, but here it is, very simply, the historical analysis. This was February 2003. A bizarre political statement by Saddam Hussein, who, by the way, spoke fluent English, just thought I would let you know, has earned Iraq a windfall of hundreds of millions of euros. In October 2000, Iraq insisted on dumping the US dollar, the currency of the enemy, for the more multilateral euro. And it basically goes on to say how they've done well since dumping it. Okay, fine. A 30% increase in the euro, by the way, that they got in a short period of time. A few years. 30% increase, that is very significant. Alright, remember that date. The 15th of February, 2003. What else happened in 2003? Well, can't help but remember this day. March 19th, 2003. The war in Iraq begins. 1 month later. 1 month later. That they've posted their profits saying we are doing so well since dumping this euro. And what do they get out of it? An invasion. And Saddam Hussein was overthrown, the country completely obliterated, even worse than what it was prior. Even though just prior to this invasion, I mean, it wasn't long before that when the US and Iraq were partners, doing deals together, working together against Iran. Then we move into this.
So, we're going to go into the next clip in just a second, but I want to go to Our Savior Has Arrived for a minute, and I want to describe something to you and just talk to you for just a second. Because you see the connection with economics and you see it with geopolitics, but this is prophecy also. These things must take place. And you note that America is a bloodshedder. The Western world, they're bloodshedders. And the shedding of blood is what they do. It comes as naturally from them as a web comes out of a spider. And they can do it and they can shake your hands. Look how Obama shook, smiled, and shook Brother Muammar Gaddafi's hand. And it wasn't a few years later that he had him lynched and killed. And then they sodomized that leader of Africa. The brothers and sisters, they didn't just kill our good brother. They sodomized, they raped Muammar Gaddafi. You know? Do you understand what they're trying to do? They're trying to convey to all who may buck up against them, if you try, this is your end. Look at what they've done to the nations that they have run up against. But this is something that must take place because we're nearing the showdown. And America being the dominant power of the world, America being that power that has ruled what they call this international order, this is why they're upset with China. China is trying to buck against the international norms, the international order. Russia, we see and perceive Russia as the greatest threat to the international order because of its aggressiveness. Those are code words for the global order under America's rule. But Muhammad says it right, and he gives it to you in a simpler term so that you can understand it. and chapter 21 of Our Savior Has Arrived, Messenger Muhammad calls this chapter Black and White Worlds Near a Showdown. And in the first two paragraphs, Muhammad writes, due to the presence of Allah in person, Master Farad Muhammad, to whom praises are due forever, and his aims and purposes to take over his own, it brings us hourly to a showdown of who shall rule the nations of the earth. The present world, then in parentheticals, he puts white people. So he's talking about that order, that international order. The present world, white people, have had their time and have gone over their time to rule. This is America. This is that Bretton Woods Agreement. This is England. This is Spain. This is France. This is Germany. This is the Eurozone. This is Australia. This is New Zealand. This is Canada. This is NATO. They have had their chance to rule, right? Muhammad says, nevertheless, they still want to rule or destroy the idea of someone else ruling as shown by their preparation made for the total destruction of the human family of the earth. Stop right there. When you buck up against them, what happened to Saddam Hussein? When you buck up against, what did they do? They lynched Saddam Hussein. They lied and said they found him in a sewer. See, they're going to demonize you. They're going to vilify you. And then they're going to make you look low. Then they hung him in the gallows. They lied on Gaddafi, who had taken his people in Libya from the poorest living standard on the face of planet Earth. Within 40 years, they had one of the highest living standards, not just in Africa, but the entire world. But he was a dictator, a tyrant, a madman who loved power, even though the power was with the people. You see? This is what I'm telling you. And you see the democracy and freedom that they have with the liberated Libya over there right now, with war and constant war, right? This is the democracy and the liberation that NATO and the Western world brings to you. Bloodshed and plenty of it. And Muhammad had it right. The present world of white people have had their time and have gone over their time to rule. Nevertheless, they still want to rule or destroy the idea of someone else ruling. This is why when Saddam switched the currency, they overthrew it. This is why when Muammar Gaddafi talked about a United States of Africa and bagged the currency, the dinar, with gold and silver and all of the precious minerals and metals in Africa, they overthrew it. And as Iran says that they're going to switch their currency from the dollar, the U.S. National Security Advisor, not the Treasury Secretary, but the U.S. National Security Advisor, puts Iran on notice. You see, they are willing to go to war and shed blood to maintain dollar hegemony. They're willing to shed blood to maintain empire. But they don't understand that Master Farad Muhammad, to whom praises are due forever, is here. He is in person. And his aims and purposes will be accomplished. And this is what brings us hourly to a showdown of who shall rule the earth. The old world is going out. The new world is coming in. And nothing they do, plan, or think of, or prepare for, can stop, hinder, or push away what God has ordained. I want to go to this next clip, and I want you to pay close attention. This is 4 minutes. I won't take too much more of your time. I just want to give you this stuff so that you can understand that this is prophecy. What you're seeing out there, that's prophecy. You just got to be wise enough to look around and see. Okay? Pay close attention to this right here. This is a continuation. If they're allowed. I just clicked the button, so I don't know. They're freezing my thing, so I'm going to try it again, okay? Here we go. Let's see.
Then we move into this. Out of all those Hillary Clinton emails, one thing was found to be interesting. This is part of that. I'm not going to get into the whole thing. Subject line, Francis client and Gaddafi's gold. Interesting. What's
I had to stop there for a minute. Hillary Clinton, for all you black people who are out there crying and disappointed that she didn't get in. She was the main proponent of the overthrow and killing of Muammar Gaddafi. He came. We came. We saw. He died. A sociopath. And while you out there loving Obama and defending him because white people attack him, let him attack him. He shouldn't have been serving them. He served them, and they don't like the way he served them. Let him suffer the ramifications of that. He never served you. And he went and deposed the strongest pillar of African unity so that America could get her foothold back in Africa to colonize Africa. And now you see an influx of American bases everywhere in Africa, an influx of bases from Canada. Yeah, Canada has bases. She's opening bases there too. And all of NATO have carved out bases all around North Africa, the same areas that Muammar Gaddafi prevented them from entering and occupying because of his financing of the African governments to prevent the bribery from white officials so that they can get their foothold into Africa. And now you smile at this Negro Obama and you crying and lamenting that old wicked Hillary didn't get in the office. You crazy as hell. You don't understand what's going on. Black man and black woman, I got to play this again. Pay close attention to this.
Then we move into this. Out of all those Hillary Clinton emails, one thing was found to be interesting. This is part of that. I'm not going to get into the whole thing. Subject line, Francis Client and Gaddafi's gold. Interesting. What's this all about? Well, down at the bottom, the gold that they're referring to here was accumulated prior to the current rebellion, and it was intended to be used, check this out, to establish a pan-African currency based on the Libyan golden dinar. Imagine that, a gold-backed currency to do away with the US dollar. It would have support from other countries in Africa, and it was meant to basically build Africa up and actually have.
Because I'm going to play that again. Because some of you Negroes, I don't care how much we try to show you that Obama is against your liberation. He moved against one of the strongest pillars in Africa for recolonization. He instituted some of the most draconian laws against black America and black nations around the world, and yet you still praise this Negro. Sometimes I get exasperated because you do it out of ignorance, and you try to identify with him. The white man knew what he was doing when he put him there. He knew that you would identify with the man because he could play basketball. He would mesmerize you with his basketball skills, and he could talk your lingo, but the only time he talked your lingo is when he was talking down to you. And you smile, and go ahead, President. It's a shame that you have been put so mentally asleep. Think about this. Under his watch and under his command and under his order, they overthrew, tortured, then sodomized and raped the great unifier of Africa, destroyed the nation, stole the gold, indebted that nation, and had civil war going on, and now it looks like they're back in the Stone Age over there. But this was done by the man you love. The 44th president of the United States. You a fool and a fool on top of a fool. And Hillary, you crying and mourning and lamenting that Trump gets in. Two evil people, and you crying that your evil one didn't get in. And she says Margaret Sanger was her greatest idol. The one who says not a word must get out about this when they're trying to exterminate the black race. That's her idol. She openly and publicly professed to be and have Margaret Sanger as her idol and her ideology at the core of what she stood for. And this so-called Negro president, Mr. Obama, the one you love, against even the most conservative white folks who were trying to cut Planned Parenthood. Did you know under this, and you know that was a tool for against blacks, that was a tool of aggression against blacks. 94% of all Planned Parenthood documentary. That's a powerful, in-depth, and deeply factual thing. But I want you to understand that this was done intentionally to take you out, to exterminate you. As a matter of fact, let's slip over to, and let me say this, and then I'll finish with this clip, and then we'll wrap it up. But let's go over. We're still in the same chapter, chapter 21, Black and White World and the Showdown. Now, remember, Elijah Muhammad was just talking about Master Farad Muhammad and the showdown, the military showdown. And then he was talking about how these white people have had their time to rule, and yet they're still trying to rule, and they have prepared to take you out, right, to destroy the whole earth if need be, because they don't want to leave you in a position to rule. This is what he was just talking about. So if you flip over to the next page, the middle paragraph, Muhammad talks exactly about the Planned Parenthood and stuff, page 104, and what they're trying to do with the knife, the surgeon's knife. Muhammad says, the white world, as it goes out, has not been asleep to its responsibility. They have been building up their arms and arsenals and factories for this day in order to kill the black man. They are doing this in so many ways. Listen to this good. I want you to pay close attention to this part. They are doing this in so many ways with drugs and the surgeon's knife in the hospitals. It is the greatest desire of the white man that he does not leave the black man in position to keep populating the earth under his own color. Our women are the target. They want to stop them from bearing children. Millions of our women fall for this destruction of their race. Now, this is why they promote this stuff, this birth control. This is how they came to be, through institutions of birth control laws. And this is how they came to power, through the institution of birth control laws. And this is how they have remained in power, through institutions of birth control, whether it's in the surgeon's knife or whether it's on Capitol Hill. This is how they have remained in power. And they have used the scribes, the modern-day scribes, the media, to inundate your mind and turn you against big families, to turn you against having and bearing children, to make you feel that your career outweighs the prosperity and the longevity of your nation. You have gone insane, black man and black woman, and you need a God to correct this wrong. Oh, man, white world under pressure, part three. This all ends in war. So Muhammad tells us these things. And we're blind to these. We're blind to these things. And you laugh and you cry. You laugh at people who come to you with truth. And you cry because Killary and Negro Sambo, Tom, left office. When they have been the greatest hindrance and detriment to your progression, they have accepted a few coins to deceive and rule you, to divide you, and eventually kill you. And you crying because Hillary didn't get in. And you crying that Obama has left out. Black man, take a minute. Process these things. Now breathe. Use your common sense. Whenever the devil comes against you, he uses your own kind or someone that you're familiar with so that he can break your unity, so that he can break your concentration, so that he can break your power, so that he can remain in power. And so this is what he's done across Africa and across the world. And they stole the gold from Libya. They stole all the currency reserves from Libya. Libya was a debt-free nation. It was three debt-free nations. I forget one of them. But listen to this. Libya was one. Syria was another. They had no central banks that was connected to the Rothschilds, the DuPonts, the Rockefellers, and all of those giants. Notice that all the ones that were debt-free and that was economically independent are now under the gun or have been under the gun militarily. You see that? They are struggling. They are striving to try to maintain dollar rule. And they will go to war. They will shed blood. They will destroy. They will bomb because this is their nature. And they are greedy. They're materialistic by nature. Material trumps anything. I've got to have, even though I'm one person, I've got to have a 54-bedroom house. And I've got to tell you what it's worth $54 or $180 million, and you get into that same mind frame. What is worth? What I'm worth? I'm worth $150 million. Well, what if that 150 million pieces of currency loses its financial back and it becomes worthless? Are you now then worthless because you put all your eggs behind that? Do you not analyze these things? Or are you too intelligent, like in this world, and you're a fool in wisdom in the world of God? Listen to closely what they're saying, how they stole this gold and how they did this nation and how they're doing nations to maintain dollar hegemony because they know that the time is against them.
Then we move into this. Out of all those Hillary Clinton emails, one thing was found to be interesting. This is part of that. I'm not going to get into the whole thing. Subject line, France's client and Gaddafi's gold. Interesting. What's this all about? Well, down at the bottom, the gold that they're referring to here was accumulated prior to the current rebellion, and it was intended to be used, check this out, to establish a pan-African currency based on the Libyan golden dinar. Imagine that, a gold-backed currency to do away with the U.S. dollar. It would have support from other countries in Africa, and it was meant to basically build Africa up and actually have some strength, get some investment, get some stability. That's what they needed. And there he was, making strong headwinds, trying to build up Libya, trying to build up Africa, trying to create all sorts of alliances globally, and he wants to do so without the U.S. dollar. He's overthrown, the country, complete bedlam. That's number two. Look at this. Now, not a complete doing away with the U.S. dollar, but look at this list. Considerable amount of countries who will have gone and done away with, in limited terms I should say, done away with the U.S. dollar in order to have these currency swap agreements between these different countries all over the world. I mean, it's just geographically completely mixed around South Korea, Hong Kong, you get Turkey, Australia, Canada, and other countries. Okay? Every country seems to be doing this. One of the things that I said early on about these currency swaps is that they would be redone at some point, reinstated, and reestablished. And it would continue. They would have a limited agreement. Okay, over the next, let's just say, over the next year, we will do a currency swap of $100 billion. Okay, so that year, and then by the end of that year, they create a new agreement. I said that would happen, and it's very clear. It doesn't take a crystal ball or anything to figure that out. They want these things to continue. It is a slow erosion of the U.S. dollar. Yes, you see the U.S. dollar's value going up, but what? Against what? Against other currencies. They're not being rated against its actual value against real goods. We've seen it against real goods been declining year over year over year. That's what I have to say about that. Over time, you can see that countries are trying to figure out their way while still supporting the U.S. dollar on one hand. On the other hand, they're basically going out and trying to go shopping for something else. You can see that. It's not just China doing that. And just last but not least, this basically the untold story behind Saudi Arabia's 41-year U.S. debt secret. How a legendary bond trader from Solomon Brothers brokered a do-or-die deal that reshaped U.S.-Saudi relations for generations. Out of Bloomberg article here, I read all about this before in a few of my books that I've read, talking about the petrodollar. Okay, it's important to note, you need to understand that as long as Saudi Arabia continues to do trade, sell their oil in U.S. dollars, the U.S. military will protect Saudi Arabia. Okay, it's a partnership. It's been going on for decades. There might be some problems here and there between the relations between the two, but it's sound. There's stability here. This needs to continue on. If it doesn't continue on, the U.S. dollar is dead. Plain and simple. If you found this video...
So, he's telling you the wickedness of America and how she's trying to maintain her dollar. And she's doing it at all costs, and it, she doesn't care the amount of blood that's shed or the destruction that is left in the pathway. She's desperate. The time is against her. The time is against the West. Why do you think at this moment in time, this moment in history, this great moment, that they are now suffering economic, meltdowns all across Europe, Greece? They bailed Greece out. Greece needed another one. They're bailing Greece out again. Greece needs another one. Italy needs one. France needs one. Germany, as a matter of fact, I was reading Fall of America the other day, and I smiled when I saw, I think it was chapter 55, if I'm not mistaken, and it may be page 225 or 226, something like that. Anyway, and I was reading on the gold and silver manipulation and the money market manipulation and how God had blessed America and Germany with untold riches and wealth, right? And God would, and then the messenger goes on how God would have, he laid the axe of justice against the root of their prosperity. I was reading that, and I was studying, I was pondering over a lot of things. And immediately after I did that, I saw them saying that America is losing her position in every category that she once dominated. She's losing her authority, her power, and her influence in every category that she was once the undisputed hegemon. Then, concerning Germany, they said Germany economy is not only on the decline, but her manufacturing, which she was the manufacturing queen, right? She was second only to America. She is the economic engine of Europe. Her manufacturing is on decline. Her exports is on decline. Her economy is under tremendous stress because of the debt burden and because America has spent most of her gold. I was reading that stuff and I said, Elijah Muhammad is right and exact as he talked about these things decades ago. But it is you who don't want to accept Elijah Muhammad because you think you know better that will wind up the loser. And I know some of you don't want to hear it. And I know some of you don't want to accept this as the truth. But let me tell you this, that God is not cheap, and he is not to be mocked. And his word be, will, and shall stand forever. Don't go to sleep to the reality of the judgment of America. Don't go to sleep on the reality of the fall and the destruction of Yaqub's world. Wake up to the time. Because the white world is under pressure. And remember, through it all, through the economic collapse, through the threats of war, through the fulfillment of prophecy, remember this. This all ends in war. Brothers and sisters, with an undying love and for my people, I got to say this. I got to stop the ending of the show. I got to come back to this. I got to say this to you. I cannot leave off the air without saying this to you. With all this going on, black man, I wanted to say this at the beginning, but I just got to stop. I'm going to stop the normal exit. I got to talk to you one more second. Give me two or three more minutes, brothers and sisters. With all of these things going on, from the bottom of my heart, in the depths of my soul, brothers and sisters, you've got to get it together. You've got to awaken. You've got to look at these things for what they are. And we all have our faults. And we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But brothers and sisters, we all we got. We're all that we've got. Nobody loves us. Nobody wants us except when they can exploit us, use us, abuse us, and then throw us away. We all we got. We got to stand together. For if we don't stand together and stand for something, we'll fall apart. And fall for everything. Brothers and sisters, with an undying love and passion for the liberation, the upliftment, and the redemption of 68 million of our kind first here in America and the billions around the world, I want to say to you from the depths of my heart, I love my people. I love my people. I love every last one of y'all. Even if you hate me, I love you. But that love
is nothing, and it pales in comparison to the love that God, who has come in the person of Master Farad Muhammad, his messenger, the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, and the mighty, mighty nation of Islam has for you. Brothers and sisters, please get your act together. Let us strive to be righteous, okay? And let us do unto each other as we would want it done unto us. No backbiting, no backstabbing. Be true to each other. Be true to yourself. Be true to God. On the next episode, we'll talk more in depth. I love you all. As-salamu alaykum.
For information on our next show, please visit trumpetoftruth.wordpress.com and click on the Blog Talk Radio button. Until we converse again, always remember, no matter how low society may have rendered you, the wisdom of the one true God will lift you on high. May God bless and keep you. The Star and Crescent Report was created and directed by Rashid Muhammad, produced by Nicole Muhammad, and hosted by Rashid Hiram, 1555 Muhammad. Have a blessed day. That I like the moon I made.